Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
We're here to help you win the ultimate bragging rights, a fantasy title.
Let's go.
Now, here's Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
How about we start today's episode of the Fantasy Football Today podcast with two questions for Dave, Jamie, and Heath. All right, first question. Which running back will lead the Saints in touches next year? And second question, which running back will lead the Saints in fantasy points next year?
Mark Ingram.
Travaris Cadet.
Mark Ingram.
Come on, Jamie, that's not your real answer.
Of course it's Mark Ingram.
Okay, hey, look, they got Peterson now. They don't. I don't know that they like Mark Ingram.
They like Mark Ingram.
Okay, well, we welcome
Until
you to the show.
Cut him.
Adrian Peterson is Tim Hightower.
Adrian Peterson is now Tim Hightower. This is our last podcast before the NFL draft. Our next show will be Friday. Jamie
what if somebody,
and I,
like, what if somebody's show cut out right before you said?
Yeah, right.
NFL draft.
This is our last podcast. Hope you enjoyed it, everybody. No, Friday, Jamie and I will react to the first round, give you the fantasy take for you. I'll tell you about the podcast league in just a second. We've got Peterson, we've got Gillislee going to the Patriots. We can talk a little bit more about that. I have a cool stat that might surprise you a little bit. The Giants apparently interested in LeGarrette Blount, and he's apparently interested in them, according to the NFL Network. I want to look at rookie running backs and what they've done in fantasy over the last 5 years. I've got some Twitter polls, and actually this should be a fun show. We got a lot of stuff to talk about as the schedule is out. Dave wrote a very good, very comprehensive column about the schedule. Of course, the Chiefs have like the most advantageous, favorable schedule in terms of rest days. Isn't that right, Heath?
Well, they're already 0-1, so they should.
They are 0-1 at the Patriots, but yeah, they've got some good breaks. Let's talk about the big news first and your reaction to Peterson signing with the Saints for 2 years and $7 million with about half of that guaranteed. It's basically 1 year and $3.5 million. Does this move the needle at all for Peterson? What does it do for Ingram? And Jamie, what does it do for Travaris Cadet?
I mean, Cadet's just going to be a third wheel if he stays healthy.
Just kidding.
I don't really think it does much for Ingram, to be honest with you. It just makes it a little frustrating and probably increases his fantasy value from the standpoint of he may fall in your draft because people are concerned about Peterson being on the roster and what he could take away. Maybe he takes away a touchdown or two. You're asking a 32-year-old guy to switch teams and come back from a knee injury that cost them 13 games last year. I just don't see what the upside is. It's a strange move from the Saints. He's an odd fit for what their offense is, unless they're just, you know, completely trying to change things up. You know they're going to go heavy defense in the draft. They got rid of Brandon Cooks. It makes some sense to try and be a little bit more of a ball control offense and help your defense out and help preserve Drew Brees a little bit, but I don't know why you do it with a guy at Peterson's point in his career and coming off of the situation he's coming off of. So I don't really worry about Ingram, and I'm not touching Adrian Peterson.
I agree. I'm not going to touch Adrian Peterson, but I am a little nervous about Ingram because for him to do what he did last year, he's going to need 250 touches. He's going to need 10 touchdowns. That's what he had last year, 6 rushing, 4 receiving. And it just feels like Sean Payton hates his guts.
No, I think that totally feels like Sean Payton hates his
guts. But if he hates him, then why did they keep the number purposely right under what Ingram's getting paid, which to me is a respect factor?
I think Ingram can't go back to them and say, give me a new contract or trade me.
But he can still do it anyway. I mean, it's easy thing to say. And to be honest with you, I'm glad that he's pissing off Mark Ingram because we saw it last year. He pissed him off in that game against Arizona in week 15, and he came back the next week. His two best games of the season were week 16 and week 17. He had 19 for 80 yards and two touchdowns.
Yeah, they gave him the ball in those games.
They're still giving him the ball.
No, they're not giving him the ball. Not as much as they did two years ago.
If Adrian Peterson plays 16 games, I'll say the same thing to you I said to you about Le'Veon Bell playing 5 more years. I'll buy the Brooklyn Bridge for you. Mm-hmm. He's not playing 16 games.
Oh, listen, I agree
He's
with
an
you,
old
but this
guy.
Is a team.
He stinks
but
at
what
this
if,
point.
But what about the
Ingram
12 games?
Quiet, adults are talking. Ingram had 205 carries last year. That was the third most for any running back in the Sean Payton era. Now, Ingram also 2 years ago had 226 carries, but I think they love using two running backs. I think Adrian Peterson, when he's healthy, Jamie, I don't think he'll be healthy for 16, but might be healthy for 8, 9, 10. I think he'll get around 10 touches per game.
We're going to have such a sick feeling in our stomach, though, week one, because...
Oh, it's Adrian Peterson all the way.
Minnesota. Maybe week two, too. He plays New England week
two. Yeah. No one's going to do well in that game.
Like, if Mark Ingram's average draft position falls to where he's going in the fourth, fifth round, then...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to have a lot of
them.
But I'm a little bit worried as far as where he's going right now.
Where were you taking him before this news? For me, it was late round two, early round three.
Third round. I would not take him in the third round now.
Neither would I. Jamie?
Depends on how the draft goes. I would still take him in the third round. I don't worry about this. I really don't. I see Ingram because I see him in the offseason. He's in great shape. He continues to work out. It goes back to when he signed his contract with the his contract extension with the Saints 2 years ago. He was working out that day.
Yeah, but Sean Payton, I think Ingram's better in almost every single way than Adrian Peterson right now. Sean Payton, though, really likes to be smart and involve different people. He really loves to use this guy in this situation, this guy in this situation.
And they had 400 touches from their running backs last year.
Right.
And the majority of that went to Ingram, and the majority of that will go to Ingram again.
I worry about Ingram's touchdowns.
Yeah, he's going to have a dip in production. That goes without saying. And so I think you just have to sort of gauge it the right way. But that's if Adrian Peterson plays, you say, 10 games?
Let's say 10 games.
I'll take the under. How many do you say?
No, if he's not being used in a full-time role, I think he gets 12. Like, if he's just getting 10 carries a game.
But what do you have, 30 carries last year?
That's true.
He's not going to hold up.
All right, but let's remember last year, Mark Ingram had a stretch of five games, Seattle at San Francisco. No. Carolina. I don't have the exact five games, but Tim Hightower had more carries than him in all five of those games. That's the point I was trying to make.
It's a fumble issue for Ingram, and Adrian Peterson has a bigger fumble issue than Mark Ingram does.
It's just such a bad fit. It really is a bad fit.
And it's annoying. It's an annoying fit.
You can tell how annoyed we are.
Yeah, and I understand.
I'm really annoyed.
All right, so...
I actually like it because it's going to drive Ingram's value down.
Okay. That would not be necessarily such a bad thing, but Peterson to the Saints. There you go. Buffalo did not match New England's two-year, $6.4 million offer sheet for Mike Gillisley. So I went back and looked at the last 5 years of New England Patriots football and the amount of carries they gave on average per game to their leading rushers, which really were Stephen Ridley and LeGarrette Blount for those 5 years. Now, there was 1 year where Shane Vereen led the team in carries because Ridley played only six games. But their leading rusher averaged 16.5 carries per game in those 5 seasons, which surprised me. Was a little bit more because, you know, they have the Patriots running back. You never know. But I feel like when they felt confident about Ridley and they had the carved-out role for Blount, they gave those guys a lot of carries and let them do a lot of damage. Good for
fantasy. I think once they get into the season and they've established who that lead guy is, that's probably true. It's been a little bit of a chore deciding before the season which of those guys it was going to be.
Yeah. So Gillisley, look, he hasn't had much work, but two straight years averaging 5.7 yards per carry. I mentioned this last week when we talked about him. Seven games with eight or more carries, Gillisley averaged 10.7 fantasy points per game in standard scoring leagues. He basically averaged a fantasy point per carry last year in those games where he had eight or more carries, and that's very, very good. So, yeah, like, is it gonna be Gillisley? What's your take? I know Dave and Jamie weighed in on this last week. Heath, what's your take?
I think Gillisley is going to score 10 to 12 touchdowns. I don't know that I necessarily think he's going to get 16 carries a game, and I don't feel confident that it's going to be there may be a game where he gets 22 carries and there may be a game where he gets six. They've got four running backs now that I would expect to all be involved, and three of them are better pass catchers. I don't know if Mike Gillisley is going to catch 20 balls this year, but he's going to be a borderline number two running back probably at the end of the year. It just won't be one you feel confident in being that each week.
So you say under 16. So would you say 160 carries a year for the year?
If he plays all 16 games, I bet he gets to 180.
180.
Yeah, that'd be 12 a game on average.
That's not good. That's not a lot.
No.
Yeah, you could be a top 15 running back or so with that, but it's difficult.
With the touchdowns, going to be good though.
Right. Like, he has to be the goal line guy.
He should be. I mean, Burkhead could do it in some capacity, and Lewis could do it in some capacity.
Everybody will score two or three touchdowns.
Yeah, I mean, they gave James White two short yardage touchdowns in the Super Bowl.
Right.
Yeah. Would you rather have Deion Lewis or Adrian Peterson next year?
At right now, Peterson.
Yeah.
I think I would take Lewis just because if anything happens to Gillislee, I figure he's the guy that gets the next shot.
Or he's the one that gets cut.
Lewis and PPR.
I think Lewis Peterson is the standard. One who's the most – if one had to get cut, I think it's Lewis.
Yeah.
Cut or traded.
I mean, they've committed to the other three guys. They signed Burkhead. They signed Gillislee. They extend White. So Lewis
– Well, Lewis got his contract last year.
Right, but he's also the one that's least likely to be on the team in 2018.
It's crazy because I feel like he's so talented and they're undefeated with Deion Lewis. Like they've never lost a game that Deion Lewis has played, right?
Yes, active. He's been on the active roster.
It's amazing. I wonder if he's the most talented one.
It's a matter
one.
Of circumstance, though. I don't think it's Deion Lewis.
No, but he's very valuable.
He's won a lot of games with Tom Brady on the roster.
He's very valuable, though. He really is.
He also won a Super Bowl without Gronkowski.
Look, I'm not taking it too literally. I'm not saying he's the best player on their team. I think he gives them a lot and he's a valuable player and I think he's very good. So,
but they almost signed a clone of him in Burkhead.
It's weird.
To an extent.
Range.
I just don't know what he can do that nobody else can do. I feel like they have somebody on their roster that can do everything he can do.
Deion Lewis?
Yes.
I think he's the fastest.
Mm. Shiftiest, I'd say.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's like, okay, he's not the best pass catcher because White has proven to be that guy over the last couple of seasons, and Burkhead could do that. He's not the most physical guy because Gillislee and Burkhead are more physical than him. So
he's the most injury prone.
And he's the most injury prone. So I don't know. I think as much disdain as I have for Peterson, I think his role is a little bit more solidified than what Lewis's role is.
Do I have to draft either of these guys?
That's the better question.
No, but I'd take a shot late on Lewis. Like I can't see White getting a big extended role, but I could see Lewis. They haven't, other than the Super Bowl, which is not that big of a game or anything, they never really showed a lot of willingness to give James White carries.
Yeah, my current perspective is I'm just going to take whichever one's cheapest. If I can get one of them in the 14th round, then I'll just take the one that falls that late.
I think that's going to end up being Burkhead, and I don't mind that one bit. I don't mind having him on my bench to start the year, and if he ends up being a special teams ace and that's it, Brandon Bolden 2.0, all right, so I botched my 14th round pick, so what? Sue me. Did it last year, too.
I'll still take Gillislee, though.
Yeah.
Round?
Five. I think there's just so much upside with him based on the touchdown potential. Because like you said, Heath, I don't know 10 to 12. I would say more 8 to 10.
Yeah.
But he's not going to average 5 yards a carry, 5.7 yards a carry, but could he be 4.5 yards a carry? So if you're saying it's 180 carries at 4.5 yards a carry, and Blunt was 7 catches last year. So if he goes to 20, you say right around 20 or under 20, but let's say 15 catches.
Right.
So he's involved in that aspect of the game as well to a minimal degree. But enough that maybe that's another touchdown, maybe it's another 100 yards on top of what he already gives you. It wouldn't be shocking if he's close to 1,000 yards rushing.
All right, well, let's watch them draft like Joe Mixon or something. We'll see.
They're running out of draft picks.
Speaking of draft picks, the podcast league contest, the deadline is April 26th. That's the day before the draft. That's tomorrow. We're recording this on the 25th. So get them in by the night, by Wednesday night, the 26th. Pick the top 10 players in order. You do not need to give me which team they go to. There will be trades, I understand that. But give me the order of the top 10, and whoever gets the most correct is in the podcast league. The tiebreaker, how many trades will be made on the first day of the draft? Does not include any trades that happen prior to Thursday. How many trades will be made on the first day of the draft? So send that entry to fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. fantasyfootball@cbsi.com and put either podcast league or draft contest or something like that in the subject line. Last news item, and I mentioned that our next podcast is Friday, I believe. Yes, next podcast Friday. Last news item, the Giants, according to the NFL Network, and LeGarrette Blount have mutual interest. In 3 years under Ben McAdoo as either the coordinator or the head coach, the Giants have ranked 23rd, 18th, and 29th in rushing yards per game. They have scored a combined 24 rushing touchdowns in those three seasons. Only 11 over the last 2 years, and Blount scored 18 times last year. I don't know. Does it feel like they don't really believe in Paul Perkins?
No, they're going to add a complimentary back. And I don't think that this would really be that bad of news for Perkins if they do sign Blount to a one-year deal. This is the type of guy I want them to add as opposed to spending a first or second round pick on a running back, and then I would think they didn't have faith in him.
The same thing like New Orleans. You want them to add old and slow.
Yeah, but with New Orleans, well, with the Giants specifically, if they sign Blount, wouldn't you be worried about the goal line work for Perkins?
Absolutely. But I think someone could come in and take that. I don't know if Perkins was guaranteed that anyway.
No.
The one nice thing about Blount compared to Rashad Jennings is that Blount can't catch the football. And Perkins
but they have
can.
Two guys that can do that, though. Besides
they,
them.
They have Breen
and John Drunk.
Yeah. I guess you're right. I guess that makes it a little bit more of a mess.
But those are, again, if that's their answer is Blount and Vereen and Sean Drone around Perkins, I feel good about Perkins going into the year.
I don't feel that good about Perkins going into the year.
I think, Adam, to your question, I don't think that they love Paul Perkins. And I think you could look at what Perkins did last year. Yes, he had some good moments in the final four games of the season when he got extended work. But he's not exceptional, and he needs to improve in pass protection. We saw that throughout the season. But he's still, I think, of the guys, including LeGarrette Blount, if he was on the roster, he'd be their best bet just in terms of what he could do for their team. But they still need to add somebody. And I said this to you, you know, when the news came out earlier today. Why not bring in a young guy and just let them compete? It doesn't make sense. They tried the retread option with Rashad Jennings, and this is another retread option. And maybe this is why their run game has been so poor over the last few seasons. It could be McAdoo. It could be the offensive line, or it could just be the guys that they have. Yeah, bring somebody else and forget about Paul Perkins and what he would be. You like him or you don't like him. For the Giants' perspective, get somebody young in there, whoever it may be, that can compete. And let's see if Perkins is better than that guy. Because Perkins is going to be better than LeGarrette Blount over the course of 16 games. Because Blount's not going to make it through 16 games. He's going to be 31. It's just not ideal situation for your team.
All right, well, let's move on and look at rookie running backs. Hey, the Giants might take a rookie running back. And a lot of teams are going to have some very good ones. This is a good, good running back class. Look, sometimes I do some research, I do some exercises that I think could be helpful in fantasy. For example, what I just said, the fact that the Giants have been 23rd, 18th, and 29th in rushing yards per game in their last 3 years, to me, it kind of takes a little bit of the shine off Paul Perkins. But I don't know that there are any conclusions to be drawn from this. I will let you guys decide. So I looked at every rookie running back in the last 5 seasons and how many of them finished in the top 24 in standard scoring leagues, so number two running backs in a 12-team league. I extended it to the top 25. There were a few cases where they were 25th. I thought might as well include those guys. There weren't that many, but there were definitely some good cases, and most of the round one running backs ended up being pretty valuable. 2012, there were 3 round one running backs. Doug Martin ended up being the number 3 running back in fantasy. Richardson was number 9. David Wilson didn't have a huge role, kind of came on strong late. Also, Vic Ballard was around 5 pick, and Alfred Morris was around 6 pick, and those guys were in the top 24. In fact, Alfred Morris was the number 5 running back. So we had 24 running backs drafted in, 21 running backs drafted, and 4 finished in the top 24. In 2013, we had no running backs taken in the first round of the NFL draft. We had 26 running backs drafted, 5 top 25 running backs. Zach Stacy, Andre Ellington, they were late round picks that were productive. 2004, you guys have the data in front of you, so I think that'll be helpful for you when you react. 2014, we had 22 running backs taken, 3 were finished in the top 25, 3 in the top 25. But none higher than 10th. That was Jeremy Hill. He was a round 2 pick. We only had 3 second round picks and no first round picks in that draft. Weak class. 2015, we had Todd Gurley, David Johnson. They were top 8 running backs. They were drafted in the first and third round. And we had Jeremy Langford, who was a round 4 pick, and he was the number 24 running back. So we had 22 running backs drafted, 3 finished in the top 24. And last year, we only had 2 top 24 rookie running backs, Ezekiel Elliott and Jordan Howard, who was a 5th round pick. You had guys like Derrick Henry in the 2nd round. You had CJ Procise, Kenyon Drake in the 3rd round. Basically, what I discovered was I'm not going to get that excited about 3rd round picks, 4th round picks, 5th round picks. Like I'm not going to draft the equivalent of Devontae Booker this year. It's going to take an injury for those guys to be good, and we don't know if they're good players to begin with. So I think you got to give a lot of credit to the 1st round picks and probably the 2nd round picks, like the Le'Veon Bell, Gio Bernard, Eddie Lacy class. That was a great class of running backs. They were all top 15 running backs. But after the 2nd round, I think it's going to be pretty random based on the last 5 years. Any reaction, guys?
I think it has much less to do about where a running back is drafted and much more to do with where the running back is playing and what type of opportunity he's got, what type of running backs are in front of him on the depth chart, because most of these guys, especially the guys picked in round 2 and later, aren't going to be starters right away. I think it's going to take some significant evaluation for every single running back that's drafted. And you can't just look at one and just throw him away just because he's a sixth round pick or a seventh round pick.
No, I think you're kind of right about the randomness, Adam, but as David Johnson showed us in 2015, being drafted outside of the first two rounds doesn't lower your upside.
No.
It significantly lowers your floor, and it could mean you get absolutely no chance your first year, but your upside is not lowered by the fact you were drafted later.
Think about the situation he landed in.
Right.
Johnson and Andre Ellington
Johnson wasn't there. Chris Johnson wasn't there at the time. But there's going to be a few situations of teams that don't take a running back in the first round, but there's a huge need for them, and they just may not have that player or the player that they like on the board at the time. I mean, Philadelphia is certainly a team that's going to look at running back, and they may not take one in the first round. Indianapolis, Tampa Bay, you know, you've seen those two teams maybe going a different direction. You know, Oakland's another one. If they don't get Marshawn Lynch, there's a report yesterday that if they don't get the deal done before the draft starts, Oakland's got to address the position in the draft, and that may take Lynch out of the equation for them. So Green Bay, you know, they may pass on a running back on their first two picks, and then you come to round three and they get a guy. And let's say it's, you know, a Jamal Williams or a Kareem Hunt, you know, somebody who can, you know, be a talented player and ends up in a great situation, and that's the next Jordan Howard.
Here's my point. Hold on, I got to follow up with this. You talk about David Johnson. I think when you're not a first or second round pick, there's less investment from the team, and it might take a little while because David Johnson was dropped that year and then picked up potentially by the owner that didn't draft him. And I think that's the issue. It's like you got to sit and wait. Like we could, oh yeah, they drafted this guy in the third round. He's a lottery ticket, this and that. But I just feel like these teams don't show like they're in a rush to get these guys who are drafted in the third round or later in many cases into the lineup and give them the opportunity. I mean, was Jordan Howard a guy you picked up off waivers? Very good chance he was.
So Jai too. Took him 2 years.
Yeah. So that's kind of my point is like, I think you have to be patient with those guys. They might get their opportunity. It's probably going to come later in the season, and maybe that should affect the way you draft. Maybe.
But if it doesn't, I think you should have a drop dead date in mind for those running backs. Like if it's not happening by week 7.
Yeah, right. But you don't want to waste 7 weeks on a guy.
Well, yeah. I mean, you have to really believe in him.
Now, I will say this class of running backs is very good. So maybe their rules are going to be broken.
Well, Joe Mixon's going to break the rules because he's maybe drafted in the fifth or sixth round, but he may be the most talented running back in the draft.
Yeah. Yeah.
What if he goes undrafted?
I don't think that happens.
I don't think it happens either, but there's a chance.
Yeah, that would be that'd be something.
He's going to end up with a team.
I read something. I think it makes sense. Like you're going to take the PR hit for it if you sign him as an undrafted free agent, if you draft him in the seventh round, or if you draft him in the second round.
Yeah.
So if you think he's the best running back in the draft, just take him early.
Yeah.
Right.
Some teams are going to take him, but it'd just be interesting to see if he goes unclaimed and then he signs somewhere. Now he has his choice.
Right.
Yeah. Kind of like Lael Collins a couple years ago.
That's a good example.
Mm-hmm. Okay, hey, let's do some Twitter polls. Let's see what the people had to say. I asked them, and I'm going to need you guys to stall while I look up the updated results. Half-point PPR league, who are you taking first out of these four players? Devontae Freeman, LeSean McCoy, Dez Bryant, or Jordy Nelson? Half-point PPR, Devontae Freeman, LeSean McCoy, Dez Bryant, Jordy Nelson. Who would you guys take first?
McCoy.
Dave?
You know, I don't think I'll wait for Dave to answer, but we should probably talk about McCoy now that Gillespie is gone because I think his outlook is better.
Yeah, I agree. It's McCoy.
And the listeners said McCoy with 40% of the vote. Devontae Freeman second at 26th. Jordy Nelson third at 21%. Dez Bryant fourth place, dead last, 13% of the vote.
There's a couple things at play with the Buffalo situation now. So you have McCoy's stock and where it kind of sits because Gillespie was very good last year, as we discussed. You know, 5.7 yards per carry, scored 8 rushing touchdowns, 1 receiving touchdown. First off, Jonathan Williams should now be considered somebody to take with the back end of your draft because McCoy is 29 and he's coming up on 2,000 career carries and 2,400 career touches when you look at the playoffs. So Williams could have the Gillespie role and that would be great. But McCoy, they added 2 fullbacks this offseason. They get rid of Gillespie. And they keep a run-centric system in place with Rick Dennison. So I think McCoy is locked in as the fourth best running back coming in, and I don't think it's close.
Okay, yeah, and he was the number three running back with Sean McCoy in fantasy last year. He's getting up there in age, but let me play devil's advocate on that, though. With Gillislee gone, is there a clear handcuff? Because, you know, some owners like drafting running backs that have a clear handcuff that could step in and be very good in case of an injury. Is there that guy in Buffalo?
Well, they have a need now, but if it just stays as it is, it's going to be Jonathan Williams.
Okay. All right, then. Next Twitter poll. Most likely to be a pleasant surprise in 2017. Coby Fleener, Jeremy Hill, or Kevin White?
Well, I'm probably going to choose, two of these guys are guys that I didn't like last year, so I'll choose one of them for sure. I would say Hill, just because currently he's the most likely to get a big workload again, and even if he's not very good, if he gets a big workload, he's going to be a pleasant surprise.
I love when players start trying to talk themselves into situations they know are going to be bad.
Yeah.
When Jeremy Hill says at one of their OTA workouts, I believe it was an OTA workout, I'm looking forward to competing with a young guy. So he's reading the press clippings and the tea leaves that they're going to add a running back because of his right. struggles and Gio's injury, especially after they paid Gio. So
Giovanni this is Bernard, Joe Mixon's landing spot.
Very well could be, although if you think a team that does not need another headache on their roster, this would be probably
I know, but this is the franchise that never one. Minds those headaches. They're okay
True.
With that.
I think Jeremy Hill's job is probably in trouble. For me, it'd be Kevin White, because just in terms of the way you phrased it,
right,
if he plays 16 games, he could be a superstar, but that's
Come
clearly
on.
A big...
Stump for Coby Fleener again.
it's a good situation for him.
He was almost a top 12 tight end last year.
So Jamie's saying Kevin White.
Yeah.
Dave Heath.
I'll say White too. Because for Jeremy Hill to be a pleasant surprise... What?
You missed Adam's not paying attention to
the yeah, like I give it, 2 minutes on Jeremy
well,
Hill.
It's the second thing in a row because I said Jonathan Williams is somebody to get with a late round pick, right, and then he asked who's the handcuff. So Adam's really probably watching the Yankees game.
No, but Jay, you didn't answer, Heath. You just talked about Jeremy
no,
Hill.
No, I gave
he
like
did.
2 to 3 minutes on Jeremy Hill.
No, you did not. You said I'm
yes,
going to pick one of them, and then
check the tape.
I thought Jamie kind of stepped in while you were talking it out.
I was not done.
You are done.
Completely done.
Oh, okay. All right.
It's Jeremy Hill.
All right. The listener said
hey,
Kevin White.
You didn't even get my answer.
Does Pineda have a no-hitter?
It doesn't matter what your answer is anymore. The listeners said Kevin White. And the listeners, that was about 49% of the vote, actually. About half the vote went to Kevin White, followed by Jeremy Hill, followed by Coby Fleener.
If Kevin White gets 800 yards and 8 touchdowns, everybody would say, wow, pleasant surprise. That's great. If Jeremy Hill gets 800 yards and 8 touchdowns, everybody's going to be pissed.
See, my counter argument is that Kevin White won the poll, so now Jeremy Hill would be more of a surprise. Kevin White's not a surprise. Half the people expect it.
Right. Yeah. These polls are so...
Did you? Is this one of the polls you did right or you did wrong?
No, I didn't do anything wrong. It was Twitter that messed up. It just wasn't displaying the results. Guy, last
when
poll.
When I looked at him, I didn't even see any polls.
Well, let me
you're
ask you
just tweeting out questions.
Right. You're blaming Twitter, but you're the one that hit the button, right?
I put the poll up there, and for some reason, it just wasn't displaying. So
I just kept retweeting them. So I retweeted like 5 year polls, so I think.
Okay, well, here's the last one. Here's the last one. It is, which second-year wide receiver do you like best in 2017? A, Sterling Shepard. B, Corey Coleman. C, Will Fuller.
This wasn't close, right?
Wait, Adam. Heath is going to talk now.
Okay. Heath, who do you like?
This isn't close, right? Everybody picked the same person?
Half the vote went to one person.
Corey Coleman?
Yes.
Okay, I agree.
Everybody else agree? Corey Coleman?
Yes.
Yep.
Maybe I should have picked someone else.
Only a Giants fan would have put Sterling Shepard in this poll.
Yeah. Well, Shepard was better than Coleman last year.
Right. They added somebody.
One of them didn't break their hand in practice.
Yeah.
One of them plays for the Browns.
Right.
They stink.
I just think the Giants added Brandon Marshall. The Browns lost Terrell Pryor, and Coleman missed time last year with an injury, and everybody knows that Corey Coleman is a more talented receiver than Sterling Shepard.
So, Heath, what's your answer to this question?
Will Fuller.
Anything else on the Twitter polls, or shall we move?
No, please don't ever do Twitter polls again.
Why?
Because look at the mess they cause.
Well, I mean, that was... Okay, here's what happened. I got an IM from someone about something work related and it distracted me. I apologize. I should have ignored it. I should just turn my IMs off. So
lack of focus. Yeah.
I try to never focus on anything else when we're doing the podcast besides what you're talking about.
Jamie's focusing on writing a player outlook right now.
I'm on Twitter.
This is really our
I'm reading our Jamie's player outlook.
Finest hour. Let's read an email. fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. This comes from Peter from the City of Oaks. I think I have come up with the greatest way to pick the draft order. Per Dave's suggestion last year, we did the March Madness pool, and it was a lot of fun. But this year, we're determining our draft spots the same way the players do. A combine. The owners of my league will be competing in various events featured at the combine. A 40-yard dash, a 125-pound bench press, Wonderlic test. It's a 10-team league with 10 points for the first for first place and 1 point for last. Various owners in my league who are a bit out of shape, they want to add another non-physical event to avoid any complaining. So what would you suggest to add to this combine to make it a little bit more fair for the people like me who probably can't even lift 125 pounds on the bench press?
You can't lift 125 pounds on the bench press?
I don't know. I don't want to find out.
I'm good. Like, generally speaking, the guys that are the most out of shape are, have had a lot of practice in consuming beers. So maybe it's some sort of,
beer drinking
shotgunning contest. Whoever can shotgun a beer the fastest.
Did you ever, in college, did you ever play the game where you pour a beer into a shot glass and you have to take a shot of beer every minute for 60 minutes?
No.
Oh, yeah. That's a fun game.
Okay. You could do something.
See who lasts the longest.
Man, I was gonna say something like.
Is this something
trivia
we should be promoting though?
No,
we should promote.
Well, the shotgunning is fine. It's just one beer.
I was gonna say a pizza eating contest.
There you go.
And then invite me to the league.
Or what about like a Trivial Pursuit or something? You know, something academic.
Okay. So Dave's talking about eating pizza. I'm talking about drinking beer, and you want to play a board game?
Academics, you know, like let the
battleship
out of shape
tournament.
Dungeons and Dragons.
All right, fine. If you were going to play one board game to determine, to be part of this combine, what would it be?
Candyland.
I would do Taboo. Even though it's a two-player game, it's the most fun.
Here are five words Adam should never say on the podcast again.
Here's a Twitter poll.
Yankees.
Taboo.
Mine would be Scrabble. It's the only board game I actually like.
Hold on. You can't make fun of Adam for bringing up Trivial Pursuit, and then you're going to have Scrabble as your board game.
I'm forced to choose a board game.
Oh, Cards Against Humanity. That's what you should do. You should have a card.
Okay, how do you play Cards Against Humanity?
People vote on the winner. People win.
Why would I vote for somebody else to win a better draft pick?
This is a fun league.
You don't know who...
When March Madness comes around, everybody fills out a bracket.
Whoever does
the best in the bracket gets to choose their draft slot.
Adam hates Heath's league because it has special teams points in it, but he loves this league where you got to play board games to pick your draft slot.
Who doesn't like board games? Hey, you know what else I like? I like SeatGeek, guys. I love SeatGeek, and our listeners love SeatGeek. I get tweets all the time about SeatGeek. If you want to save $20 when you go to a game or a concert or theater or a comedy show or whatever, download the SeatGeek app and use our promo code FFT. Again, that's FFT as in Fantasy Football Today. SeatGeek's going to send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase when you download the app and use FFT. Look, buying tickets online for sports, for concerts, it's always been a confusing process. You got to search multiple sites. You don't know if you're getting the best deal, but SeatGeek is different. SeatGeek made an amazing app and website that makes it easier than ever for fans to buy and sell tickets. I always, always go to SeatGeek first when I need to go to a game or whatever it may be. So look, I got the app on my phone. You should too. It price compares for you. It ranks the tickets based on value. You're going to get that bang for your buck. That's what you want. It's easy, saves you time and money. Please use SeatGeek and our offer code. Download the SeatGeek app. The promo code is FFT. You're getting $20 back after your first ticket purchase. Download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code FFT.
Hey, Adam.
Yes, sir.
Another word you should never be allowed to say on the podcast again.
Mm-hmm.
Bonanza.
Oh, that's not happening.
And thank you for not bonanzing the draft.
Yeah, I don't know how much of the draft I'm going to watch, not going to lie.
Well, thanks for doing your job.
But I will be watching you guys. In fact, if you wouldn't mind telling me some information, how to watch you guys, when to watch you guys, where to watch you guys during the draft.
I believe we're starting right at the same time as the draft, if not 5 minutes before, whatever time that is. And you could watch us on all of the CBS Sports properties, CBSSports.com properties.
Just download the CBS Sports app. It's free. It's really good. I know, you know, I work for CBS and it sounds obvious that I would say such a thing, but it's really a good, clean app. Doesn't take up a lot of space on your phone. You can set it so you never get an alert again if you don't want to be bothered.
But
and you can live stream anything that we've got.
If you do that, you'll miss alerts like the one I just got. Breaking news that Jeb and Derek Jeter have bought the Marlins.
No kidding.
Wow.
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 By the way, that was
an auction to buy the Marlins.
It was a great promo, Dave.
You think they had to play a board game first in order to qualify?
I would rather picture Monopoly. Jeter and Jeb shotgunning beers.
And watching Stranger Things. So back to football.
Oh, yeah. You got your sponsorship back. That's good.
In all seriousness, if you're tired of the typical draft coverage, which I've really grown tired of, check out CBSSports.com. Our coverage is going to be outstanding. We'll be talking NFL and also fantasy. So it's a nice little hybrid for you, and it's all the personalities you've come to know and love, except for me. So we got more news. Yeah, Latavius Murray's still in a walking boot. Pittsburgh's not sure about Martavis Bryant's status, and Marshawn Lynch does not have a deal with Oakland. Not sure if that's going to happen. You want to talk about Latavius Murray? Is that a big one?
Nah. It's not encouraging that he's still in the walking boot and they're practicing. Got to learn a new offense.
What's going on in training camp? Is he coming to training camp limping, or is he going to come in ready to go? If he comes in ready to go, I'll feel a little bit better about the situation.
They're talking about Joe Mixon there.
Yeah, well, that would obviously change things. If the Vikings go without drafting a running back and Latavius is A-OK for camp, I still see him as a guy who can score a bunch of touchdowns. Should be able to get over 1,000 yards.
No. Yeah. He can get over 1,000 yards in Oakland.
Total?
With the better offense.
He did total. He's a number two running back.
Number three.
Low end number two. Split the difference.
Latavius Murray had only 195 carries last year. He had actually the fewest in the top. I think he was 13th. He had the fewest in the top 13.
Very, very, very many touchdowns.
12 rushing touchdowns and no receiving touchdowns.
Right.
Other news items for you. The Patriots look like they're going to keep Malcolm Butler and Jimmy Garoppolo, according to Adam Schefter, the Garoppolo
Smart.
News. Yeah, it's a heck of a defense. I don't remember how they finished in fantasy. I could look it up, but they were a little frustrating in fantasy. They were solid. They didn't turn the ball over a lot or get turnovers. They didn't get a lot of sacks.
They led the NFL in points allowed.
They were the ninth best DST in our scoring.
They are so much better than like the rest of the league, just as a whole.
Yes.
They're going to be up by three scores at halftime of every game. Their defense is going to be really good this year.
They've got some tough matchups. The schedule gods were not kind to them this year.
They could play on Mars and leave half their players at home, and they'd still be better than
their second team offense.
They'd have to leave a couple days early for that.
Their second team offense is better than most teams' first team offense.
What is their second team offense? Well, the running backs are good. We already talked about them.
Yeah.
So that would be fine. Second team offensive line, I don't think is going to be
well,
as good.
Well, I mean, obviously you're going to have some
quarterback's going to be fine. Second team receivers? Who is that?
Hogan,
is Chris Hogan now
Hogan,
second?
Mitchell, Amendola. Hogan,
yeah.
That's really good.
Wow. That's not bad.
Pretty good.
And Dwayne Allen at tight end.
Hogan, Mitchell, Amendola is better than the Rams. Better than the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
Better than the Browns?
I'm ready to move on here.
No, let's talk about board games.
Jason Lockenfora, not sure that wide receiver John Ross is going in the first round because of his medicals. Just want to bring that up because, you know, injury history is important here. The Seahawks, for now, looks like they've moved past a Richard Sherman trade, but it has not been ruled out. And Miami center Mike Pouncey, still on crutches after hip surgery. He had stem cell injection. And Pouncey is expected to be ready for week one. He played in 5 games last season. In those 5 games, Jay Ajayi averaged 6 yards per carry, and he had 2 200-yard rushing games with Pouncey in the lineup. He's a real difference maker. And the schedule can be as well. So as I mentioned, Dave wrote a great story about schedules. Check it out. I've read like 3 or 4 stories about the NFL schedule, and Dave's was the most fun, the most interesting. So give it a read on fantasy news or cbssports.com/fantasy. What do you want people to know, Dave?
Well, let's start with this very fantasy-centric note. There are 3 weeks this year where six teams will be on bye.
Ooh.
Three by NATOs, and one of them is going to be week 11.
Ooh. I'll stop
Make that noise
that.
Again.
Are we outlawing that too?
No, you can keep your noise that makes it sound like, I don't know. Makes it sound like you heard a stat that, I don't know.
Yeah. Woo.
Just say the damn noise.
Okay. Well, yeah. So crazy binados. We got three of them this week, Dave, or this year.
Three of them this year. I talked about the Patriots that got messed with the schedule a little bit. They do have, they're one of seven teams that play three games in a row on the road. They do it late in the year at Buffalo, at Miami, and at Pittsburgh.
3-0.
Yeah, maybe. Probably, knowing them. One of the things that stood out to me last year, and one of the reasons why I didn't want any Eagles on my fantasy team last year, was because of their schedule and because they played three opponents in consecutive weeks coming off a bye, the opponents were. And Philly had their bye earlier in the year. This year, there is a team that plays four opponents coming off the bye. Not in a row, but all within a six-week span. And that team, Adam, is your New York Giants.
I know.
Their schedule's tough.
Yeah, they got
week
screwed.
Week six, they're at Denver. Denver's coming off a bye. Week seven, they host Seattle. Seattle's coming off a bye. Week nine, they're against the Rams. The Rams are coming off a bye. And week 11, they're against the Chiefs. The Chiefs are coming off a bye. Three of the games are at home for New York. So maybe that's the silver lining. And they also do not have the three-game road trip jinx going against them. But it is a difficult situation for them. And no, sir, don't love that for them.
No, actually, the Giants have the biggest gap, the biggest difference in rest days from their opponents. Their opponents have like 22 more off days than the Giants. And I think the Chiefs have the most rest, more than their opponents. I'm not sure if you guys saw that, but I think.
How do you figure that out? You should post a link or something.
I just read it several times. It's you know, the Chiefs coming off a bye have a blank amount of days of rest. The Giants are going to have 6 days of rest that week. You know, the Chiefs are going to have 13. So.
And the Bears don't play any teams coming off a bye, right?
I can go back and look at my notes, but there are
Pretty
several.
Sure I saw that.
There are several teams, I believe. Wait a minute. I got it right here. Yeah, several teams that don't play anybody coming off a bye. You want to know them all? Sure. Or do you want to know that Chicago isn't? Because they're not.
They're not? I thought I saw they were.
No, they're not playing any teams coming off a bye.
Yeah.
So what you said is true. So is Buffalo, Cleveland, Houston, Kansas City, the Chargers, the Raiders, the Cardinals, the Saints, the Vikings, and the Eagles.
Everybody seems to love the Panther schedule.
Big news of the schedule for me was that Derek Carr is only going to have to play two cold weather games. He has almost all home games in November and December, except for he goes to Los Angeles, Philadelphia, and Kansas City.
Oh, and please plan to trade for Ben Roethlisberger. A lot of road games early, a lot of home games late.
Mm. Mm,
okay.
The Browns and Jaguars are the only teams not playing on a Thursday.
Yeah, how do you feel about that?
I think
good as a viewer.
As a viewer, I like it, but I kind of like the concept of everybody having to play once on Thursday.
I do too. I like seeing teams that I don't get to see very often. You know, the red zone isn't really a great viewing experience. So
yeah, we share a room with Pete Prisco every Sunday, so we got to watch the Jaguars.
But it's on a little TV in the corner. It's not on one of the big TVs.
Well, I sit next to them all the time. So.
I mean, the Jaguars could be an exciting team. The Browns.
They can be with Leonard Fournette, sure.
Yeah, sure. I like this from your story, Dave. The Cardinals have 11 indoor games. That leads the NFL. The Cowboys, Falcons, Lions, Saints, and Vikings. Some pretty good offenses here. Not all of them, but Cowboys, Falcons, Lions, Saints, and Vikings have 10 indoor games. And the Falcons have 13 games on turf. That's great.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Usually equates to high-scoring games. I don't know if it's going to be as good for their defense. I'm interested to see what they do in the draft.
They got to go defense.
They should. I almost wonder if Dimitrov tries to pony up to get one of the big defensive linemen that'll go in this draft just to, well, no, maybe not there. What do you think they need? I'm talking to myself.
They need...
I think they need another pass rusher.
They need another pass rusher.
That's really how I feel about it. I know Beasley did some nice things for him.
Needs help.
Four of Denver's first five games are at home with a week five bye mixed in.
Please beat Paxton Lynch.
I think that could be a very good hot start for the Broncos. And we talked about the Steelers, and they've got a lot of home games. They play four straight games in prime time from weeks 11 through 14, and three of them are at home. And Big Ben's biggest game last year was a primetime game, wasn't it?
His biggest game?
Yeah.
Who was that against?
Primetime game against the Colts. It wasn't his best game, but it was a good one.
And then of the six touchdown games he had 2 years ago, one of those was a primetime game, if I remember.
Against Baltimore?
Yeah. I think it was the Baltimore one.
Oh, no. Ben's best game last year was primetime. It was the Chiefs, 300 yards, five touchdowns. Yeah.
But then he had a bad one against the Eagles on the road.
That wasn't a primetime game, was it?
Yeah.
At Philadelphia?
Huh?
Yeah, week three at Philadelphia?
That wasn't primetime?
I don't think so. I think it was a 4 o'clocker. I'm not sure. It may have been, but that was bad. Yeah, then he came back with that Kansas City game the next week, and then 37 points the next week against the Jets at home. I don't even know.
He had a good road game against the Colts.
He did. That was Thanksgiving, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, 26 points. 26 fantasy points on 20 pass attempts. He absolutely carved them up. All right, so good stuff.
Be a monster if Brian plays.
Good stuff, and read it on the website on cbssports.com/fantasy. Let's read some emails. fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
I'll tweet out the link to the schedule story, too. So twitter.com/DaveRichard, you'll see the link there.
Matt from the biggest city in East Tennessee.
Knoxville?
Memphis?
That's on the western tip of Tennessee.
Who is?
Memphis.
Maybe your west and my east are the same thing.
That's possible.
I think more globally, Heath.
Yes, okay.
And the greeting is, Dear Billy Lee, Jimmy Lee, and Adobo. It's apparently from Double Dragon. Very good video.
I grew up with a friend named Jimmy Lee.
Okay, I grew up with an Adobo. A Bobo, not Adobo. How about Kelvin Benjamin and Devin Funchess as candidates for the Azer strategy? Benjamin in the sixth, Funchess for free. I feel like one of these guys has to be good. I don't. See, I don't think so. That's not what I would do. No, seriously. Like, I don't think Funchess would be good. I need to see something from Funchess.
I don't think it's a bad strategy if you take away the I feel like one of these guys has to be good, and you're just talking about drafting Kelvin Benjamin in the sixth or seventh round and taking Devin Funchess with your last pick. I'm not really into the whole Azer thing of taking two receivers from the same team.
Yeah, you should be.
This is not a terrible way to do it.
This is a pretty bad way to do it, I think.
Yeah.
I like Kelvin Benjamin. I think that's one of the key points in the Azer strategy is that you have to like them both individually. And I don't like Funchess. So
is there ever going to be a week where they both go off? Probably not.
No.
Is there going to be a week where neither one will go off? Plenty of them.
But hey,
you can do a better job, Matt. From Memphis.
But I appreciate it, Matt. All right, next email is from Marcus in Los Angeles, California. Dear Walt, Ferg, Branch, and Henry. I don't know. Dynasty League, I have Derek Carr, Dak Prescott, Andy Dalton. Oh, this is not from Marcus, I'm sorry. This is from James in Maryland. All right, he's got Derek Carr, Dak Prescott, Andy Dalton, and Jimmy Garoppolo. He's got solid quarterbacks. The guy with Aaron Rodgers also has Kirk Cousins, wants to trade Rodgers to improve at wide receiver. All right, so here we go. The Carr, Prescott, Dalton, Garoppolo guy has Julio Jones, Mike Evans, Allen Robinson, and Dez Bryant. He's loaded at wide receiver. Would you trade, if you were him, Dez Bryant, Andy Dalton, and the 16th pick of the rookie draft for Aaron Rodgers?
No. I wouldn't trade Dez Bryant for Aaron Rodgers.
But that's the thing. Like, in a vacuum, I wouldn't trade Dez Bryant for Aaron Rodgers. But if I already have Julio, Evans, and Allen Robinson, I might do it because I don't care what the trade chart might say in this case. I want to win a championship. And now
Carr and Prescott as well. So why do you need Aaron Rodgers?
What?
But you're giving up assets to get him.
So what? You're getting a much better player. A much better player. No disrespect to Prescott and Carr, but Rodgers is the cream of the crop.
He is a much better player. Like, I guess if it's a league where you could only start three wide receivers, then I might consider it. If it's a league where you start three wide receivers and one flex, no chance.
Oh, I disagree. I think I would do it. I think I would overpay to get my all-star team.
Who are you starting at flex now, though?
I don't know. He's still got a roster. I don't know what it is, but...
Well, is the difference between Aaron Rodgers and Derek Carr?
I think he needs to get more back in return.
Yes, I agree too.
All right. Dave, how do you feel?
I think Dez and Dalton for Aaron Rodgers works.
That was
I don't
option.
Like adding the rookie pick. Because I like, in a dynasty league, I like collecting rookies and keeping them on my team. And I get the kind of like win now type of feeling that you get with Aaron Rodgers. And you can wait a little bit on Carr and Dak if you want. What if Dak's a bust? What if Carr gets hurt again? Carr hasn't been great against his division rivals.
Look, they're not Aaron Rodgers.
As much as I like him, and I like him a lot, and I understand why you don't want to trade off an asset like Dez, the thought that it was in my mind is, how many more years does Dez have?
I would say four.
Three.
How many
five.
More years does Aaron Rodgers have? Not as many. Maybe as many.
I would
maybe
guess it's similar, yeah.
So if you really want to dominate a quarterback...
Go for it.
I think you go for it. I don't know if I would throw in the rookie draft pick.
So wait, it's Julio, Dez, Mike Evans, and Allen Robinson. That's the top four?
Those are his four receivers.
Take out Dez, put in Robinson, do the same deal, see if he takes it.
Yeah, but the other one I didn't read was he could either do Dez, Dalton, and the 16th pick of the rookie draft for Aaron Rodgers, or he could do Dez and Dak for Aaron Rodgers. Would you do, Dave, you said you would do Dez and Dak? You just don't want to give up that 16th pick?
No, I would do Dez and Dalton.
Oh, well, that's not one of the options. I don't know. You've got different opinions here.
Counter with Dez and Dalton.
I think it's okay to overpay if you're setting yourself up for a championship, which I think you are.
Right. And it's that way in seasonal fantasy, too. When you're at the trade deadline in your league. Yeah, it's okay.
Okay, next email. This one actually is from Marcus in Los Angeles, I think. Dear Rick, Kevin, and Javier. I don't know why I said Javier like it's too... names. I don't know who that is. The other one was, by the way, something called Longmire, whatever that might be. 10-team Dynasty League. All right, he has to keep, I think, 8. All right, so here's the thing. Marcus kind of guilted me into reading this, because Marcus was like, you never read my email. This is a pretty confusing email, Marcus. So
this is why, Marcus.
We're going to answer it last, so stick around. John Chan from Toronto.
So first you tease that you're reading his email, only to read somebody else's
email. And you mention this guy's name like 14
then
times.
Then you bring up that you're mentioning his email.
Where's Marcus from?
He's from Stranger Things.
He's from Los Angeles.
Now you're going to make him wait till the end of the podcast to get his answer.
Well, it's a really confusing email.
Yeah, definitely keeping Winston.
Thank you.
Miller, Beckham, Brown, Eifert. Definitely.
Okay.
All right, Heath, give your answer now. Go.
Stop. John Chan from Toronto. You mentioned the value of Tyreek Hill going up in a league that has points for returns. Any other sneaky late-round sleepers that gain value in leagues with return yards or return touchdowns?
He took one of my favorite ones in our Dynasty League.
Jalen Richard?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Lockett. Lockett and Richard.
Darren Sproles.
Tavon Austin has value again if you're in that type of league.
Yes.
All right.
And this guy, he's good, but his return yards really puts him over the top. Antonio Brown.
I don't. You think he's really worth it?
He might be.
Greg Dollins in Whittier, California. Dear Neo One and Mr. Anderson. Was that Beavis and Butthead, Principal Anderson?
It's Matrix.
Yeah, I know. Keeper question. I can keep up to 3 with no penalties or loss of pick. Who should I keep? 3 of them. Up to 3. Amari Cooper, Terrell Pryor, Melvin Gordon, Rob Gronkowski, Michael Thomas, Russell Wilson.
I would go Gordon, Gronk, Thomas.
I would go Gordon, Cooper, Thomas.
No Gronk? You're not going to keep Gronk for nothing? You're going to send him back to the draft pool?
Send him back to the draft pool.
Gordon and Thomas, I think, are the easy ones. I would probably lean toward Gronk also just because of position scarcity and what he can give you.
And clearly he's healthy. I mean, he's at WWE events helping people win matches.
Yeah, I can't imagine he would make a poor life decision.
And
this is a big year for Cooper. He really has to take the next step because he's been good. He hasn't lived up to their expectations, right. I think. He's been outplayed by Crabtree.
But he's like 6 or so. I guess how long can you keep them would matter, too. Because if you can keep him forever, he's like 6 years younger than Gronk.
Well, if there's a longevity factor, then you're definitely keeping him. But if it's just a 1-year situation, I think Gronk gives you the better chance to win.
Next up, we have Eric in Christmastown, Michigan. Dear Colt, Rooster, and Bo. This is the ranch. The ranch. Never heard of it. Pick
those,
two.
Those could also be wrestlers.
I was thinking the, was it the Million Dollar Man?
No.
Colt Seavers?
No. Colt Cabana.
You're thinking of Rocky, Colt, and Tum Tum.
No, there was a TV show called The Million Dollar Man back
in
the 80s.
I thought you were referencing The Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase.
Ted DiBiase,
and Virgil. WWE. Yes. Oh, I'm glad you know your stuff.
By the way, we have a wrestling podcast now. It's called In This Corner with Brian Campbell. It's great. Check it out. It's wrestling, boxing, and MMA. All in one. All right, pick two. No limit on time. It's PPR. This is a 10-team league. He has the 10th pick of round one, if that helps. So pick two of these guys in a PPR league. Sammy Watkins in round two. Brandon Cooks in round four. Keenan Allen in round five. Melvin Gordon in round six. Corey Coleman round 10. And Tyrell Williams, Ty Montgomery, and Cameron Meredith in round nine.
Hmm.
You're keeping how many? I'm sorry?
Two.
We're keeping two. Let me read them again.
Point PPR.
Here. Let me read them again for the listeners. Watkins in round two. I'm going to say no to that, right?
Yep.
Yep.
Cooks in round four. Keenan Allen in round five. Melvin Gordon in round six. That's going to be one, right?
Yes.
All right. So it's going to be Cooks in four, Allen in five, Corey Coleman in 10, or any of these guys in round nine. Tyrell Williams, Ty Montgomery, or Cameron Meredith?
I'd go with the Chargers, Gordon and Allen.
Oh, I thought you meant Gordon and Williams.
Yeah, Keenan Allen round
As
five.
As of now, I would agree with you. If Green Bay doesn't do anything good with the running back position in the draft, then I would say it's Gordon and Montgomery.
Would you be hesitant to keep two running backs in a PPR league?
Not when you're getting good value like this. Because Ty Montgomery will go well before round nine in a PPR league if he's the guy. If his only competition is Christian Michael, he'll go
well. They're going to add somebody, but it's just a matter of if, you know, to hold.
Is it going to be like Dalvin Cook slipping to them in round one, or is it going to be...
It's tying a bow on Adam's theory. Is if they end up with a day three guy, is the opportunity that great, or is he going into a situation where he may not be that good because they didn't invest heavily in him? So if that was the case, then I would keep Montgomery. If they do get somebody on day one or day two, then I'd probably keep Allen and Gordon.
Heath, you answered Marcus's question?
I did not, I don't think, give him enough players. I believe he was looking for...
You said the Chargers.
Oh.
No, this is Marcus
we're back
in Los
on
Angeles.
Marcus from,
I thought we were back on Adam, not paying attention.
This is the worst podcast I've ever done. I apologize. I am a freaking
mess. I agree.
Yeah.
Wait, you've ever done horrible. Or you've ever done?
Me.
Okay, good.
Yeah, terrible. You guys were great.
Let's do a poll on it.
By the way, everybody here is familiar with Chris Towers. Chris Towers, he said it's not poll, it's pull. I thought it would
cool.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Cool.
Listen to the baseball podcast, being on the inside joke. So this is just an even worse way to end a terrible podcast. Can you answer, Marcus, or are we done here or what?
Yes. Winston, Miller, and Ingram. Beckham and Brown, Eifert, Giants. I still don't think I answered his question.
That's fine. Thank you, Marcus. Congratulations. You got your question read. Thank you, and everybody, appreciate you entering the contest. Good luck to you. And again, get those emails in at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Watch our draft coverage on cbsports.com or on the app. I'll see you later. I'm Adam Azer for Heath Cummings, Dave Richard, and Jamie Eisenberg. Bye.
Put your biscuit at number two.
Cow. Goodbye.